Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
What's the Steve Martin movie where he gets excited about the phone books arriving?
I'm not sure.
Is that The Jerk? Like, the phone book is here, right? I think that's The Jerk. It's an old movie. Can't remember the particulars of it, but there's a scene where he's really excited about the phone book arriving. I feel the same way about the USA Today coaches preseason top 25, Giglio. The preseason top 25 is here! So now we can pore over it and see who is properly ranked in the top 25. Who is way too high in the ranking? Who was slighted? Who was in the others receiving votes category that actually should be in the top 25?
You're being serious right now?
Absolutely. No, not really.
You get excited about some strange things.
I get excited on August 10th when we're in that weird nebulous time between stuff that's wrapped up in the summer to the start of the football season.
Right.
So I look at these little milestones.
Our lull, if you will.
It's a little bit of a lull, but okay. You try to make the most out of it. All you get right. The coach's poll, and you're like, yes!
Joe,
let's get hype!
This is why you've been in radio for 20 years,
yeah.
And I am still a relative newcomer.
And you don't get excited about these types of things?
Remember last year when the bubble started, how excited I was?
Yeah, you were hype about the NBA bubble.
Because we had nothing.
Right.
I feel like we've been sustained, you know, first by the College World Series went a little bit longer, a little bit more controversy than normal.
Yeah.
The playoffs, hockey playoffs, NBA, and they're kind of dovetailed into the Olympics. But I feel you now. I feel what you're saying.
Like, when I see
it's a long time until September 2nd is what
really
you're saying.
It really is. We got a couple weeks, man. We got a couple weeks to go. So.
We already went to the kickoff and talked to these coaches.
And now what? What are we supposed
to
do?
Can't watch practice.
Am I supposed to present to the radio audience conversations about NC State's too deep?
They're punting. Yes.
No, we're not going to do that. So the thing about preseason polls is kind of like they are what they are. You're an AP top 25 voter, right?
I used to be, yeah.
Are you no longer an AP top 25 voter?
No, it's been a few years.
Was the threats to your family enough?
No, the first year of the playoff was the first year that I decided that was enough.
How would you approach your preseason top 25?
Oh, it was always a guess.
Yes.
This is what I think is going to happen.
And then once
I don't know what else you're supposed to do in the preseason.
But once games were played.
Oh, I threw the whole thing away and started all over.
Yeah, that's how you should do it. And that's kind of how I look at the AP top 25 and the coaches poll preseason top 25. They set the table. It's a guesstimate of who the collective thinks will be good this upcoming season. And once the games start, unless we're talking about Alabama, we start to evaluate these teams. Oh, and Ohio State. We start to evaluate these teams properly. Take, for instance, Alabama. Alabama's number one in the preseason poll. 63 out of the 65 first place votes, despite the fact that they've lost a lot of talent. But it's Nick Saban, so they get the benefit of the doubt. They'll be able to reload and still be good. Clemson under Dabo still has that benefit of the doubt. They're reloading. They've got key positions that they have to replace, including Trevor Lawrence. They're number two, basically the same idea, with the expectation they're going to keep going. The surprise to me was North Carolina showing up at number nine. It's easy to understand why on two basic levels. People like Mac Brown, their head coach, and it's a coach's poll. People love Mac.
Yeah.
And folks are high on quarterback Sam Howell. Other things can factor in. I mean, there's an expectation that the defense is going to take a step up, and they need to, which we'll get to in a second. But let's not overthink why North Carolina is in the top 10 in the AP in the coaches poll top 25. Mac Brown and Sam Howell. However, while I get the expectations are high, and it should be a fun season in Chapel Hill, I am a little bit skeptical over the long run. This was a team that struggled to move the ball against a wide variance of teams. Scoring 17 points against Notre Dame, I think you and I both agree, Giglio. Yeah, that makes sense. Notre Dame's defense was really good. It blew them off the ball, right? I'm remembering that game right.
Pretty much after the first quarter of that game, Notre Dame
was able to control both lines of scrimmage.
They controlled it. But then, when I say a wide variance, they also couldn't move the ball against Florida State for a good chunk of that game. It wasn't until later that they ended up making it a contest that they eventually lost. So there's that variance that I'm talking about. I guess that's college football to a certain extent. And last year was weird, too, because of no real offseason thanks to COVID. But the defense is the other issue that I would be concerned with if I'm a North Carolina fan. Well, they do bring back, I believe, like just over 80% of what they had last year defensively. They are without Chaz Surratt, who we understood to be the leader on the defense, leading tackle, and everything else. This is also a unit, I mentioned Florida State. They gave up 31 points to that Florida State team. I don't have to rehash how that went for the Seminoles last year. They also gave up 44 points to Virginia. They gave up 53 points to Wake Forest. They were 74th in yards per play last year, given up, right? And while I get there's experience coming back, they still have to take that next jump. And I know what the response might be. Well, who exactly is it that they play?
We kind of. I was going to say, who are you going to put in front of? I'm slightly surprised you're on this a little bit.
Why is
at
that?
Nine.
Why?
Well,
is that?
I mean, I'm. Oh, are you mad that Iowa State is number 8?
Last year, I got into an argument with people because North Carolina eventually elevated to, I think, what, 5th in the country.
Right. And this feels like a separate argument because we didn't have Big Ten teams last year.
We didn't have Big Ten teams last year, but that didn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, I pointed out there was no Big Ten teams. I also pointed out that who exactly had North Carolina beaten up until that point? Right. And when they actually got some stress tests, we saw what ended up happening. These are all things that I'm saying that Mack Brown has said. I'm not saying anything that's new. I mean, Mack Brown sat there last year and told people, we're not there yet. I didn't like how we were fortunate to win some of these games, especially with the way the defense gave up a lot of plays. But the expectations for North Carolina are to take that next step. I hope it happens because when we got put good football in this town, everybody wins, right? I mean, they've sold out seats at Keene and everything else. I'm simply at a point where I was last year with North Carolina where I get why people are into it. But when you actually take a step back and you look at what this team actually produced, I think it's fair to question just how good they can be. And it starts right out of the gate against Virginia Tech. That's not a gimme going to Blacksburg on Labor Day weekend. So that's all. Am I being a party pooper? Is that what this is?
I feel like your argument last year was stronger than a preseason poll.
Okay.
Right? Like, because this is about potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think North Carolina has the potential to win the ACC.
Okay.
I'm actually more surprised at Clemson being number 2, given their performance in the playoff, the way that they were pushed around.
Yeah.
By Ohio State. Forget the rest of the stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence, I mean, we're already discounting how good he really was. But they were just bullied in that game.
Yeah, they were.
Now, you're certainly welcome, as the conversation I had with Eric McLean. Like, well, who on Clemson's schedule is going to do that to them?
Exactly.
Well, there's Georgia, who they open with, who I see at number 5 in the preseason poll. But it's the preseason, Joe. It's literally about potential. Like, yes, I think North Carolina has the potential to be a top 5 team this year.
I look at the S&P, they're like a fringe top 20 team.
Oh, man.
I'm just telling you what the predictive algorithm spits out.
Sure.
That's why I said what I said at the beginning. People like Mac, people like Sam Howell.
Absolutely.
And that's
Mac
where the
Mac is 40% of it.
Yes.
Easily. Particularly in the coaches poll. But this is where I think the super seniors are going to sneak up on some people.
All right.
Tamon Fox is a guy at linebacker who normally would be gone, right? And then they lose Fox and Surratt, and you're like, wow, Carolina doesn't have any linebackers. You bring a player like that back, it helps, man. It helps.
It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. If you miss anything from today's show, you can check it out on the Best of the OG podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google. We're there 5 stars only based on the potential of this show. Preseason
well,
potential
well, yeah,
of
like,
this show.
We would be 5 stars based on our potential.
Oh, absolutely.
Not according to you.
Our actual execution, on the other hand, is more like a 3-star podcast, if we're being honest. You know? I did not say that North Carolina is overrated. I'm simply saying I understand why they're ranked where they're ranked. I reserved a right to be skeptical over some of the things that I saw from last year, and they have to get better at this
year. They had two games that they shouldn't have had last year. I'm in full agreement with you. But that was also, last year.
It was a weird...
Can't they learn from it? I mean, they really do have everybody, but those two running backs and the two receivers.
Yeah, and they got a transfer.
Now, I could be diminishing the loss of the two running backs. Javonte Williams and Michael Carter were really good. Really good. They were dudes. They were not like, hey.
They also had dudes at wide receiver as well.
Yeah.
And we saw some glimpses of it in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah,
but
I think they're more. But you have Bo Corral, Garrett Walston back too.
Yeah.
I think they'll be security blankets for Sam Howell. Carolina got themselves in the situations last year defensively and special teams, the kind of between the cracks, the details, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But there was only one game that they played in that they got bullied, and that was the Notre Dame game.
That was the Notre Dame game. Jonathan Rand, our normal producer, is not here this week. So when he's not here, there is no expectation for the person who is filling in for Rand to do a cappella the news, unless that person is Dennis Cox.
That's right.
Who accepts this challenge full-throated. He's ready to belt it out.
Meet it head on.
All right, man. Let's see what you got cooked up today.
Yeah.
It's time for a rant to
acapella the news.
All right, guys, I had to go back to my roots here a little bit. I had to wrap my tail off again.
Oh, more rapping.
So gorgeous. It's another beautiful day with the Carolina Panthers, y'all. Y'all should be there to see it. You know what I'm saying? The Beaks is pumping out the system. CMC's back in the backfield. Open the field to a new day, spreading the team, taking shots downfield, cause we're going for things. Everybody got their hands out, looking for green. Pressure getting heavy, cause we're living the dream. Try to school these young rookies, and it all would have seemed. They still struggle just like you, and they still hustle just like you. But it just so happened that CMC, doing what he loved to do, got back to his work, cause he was penning on his plays last night. That'll drive the defense berserk. Sam Darnold hit him up, said it's time to work. The wong, your pair of pads, your cleats, to white shirts, headed back to the shop, back to the spot where the runs keep coming, stack them up like bricks. You can call him the Mason of hits. Foundation has been rock solid, no replacing your dig, no replacing the man on everything that I live. He can run the left side till the trains collide, or if he fall off track, he'll be cutting it back. And everything that goes for him, the same applies to Matt.
Dennis.
Yeah.
No offense.
Yeah.
But that went too hard for Sam Darnold. Like that.
Oh, that was for Christian McCaffrey.
No, even for Christian McCaffrey, that went too hard.
Oh.
You had me there for a second. You had bricks, and then you were rhyming with another word that started with D, and I was like,
careful with that. Yeah, no, I feel like. No,
it was dig.
Based on the Panthers last season and the expectation of Sam Darnold, that was way too hard in the paint. I feel like that needed to be more Macklemore than anything else.
Sorry, I was channeling my inner Dan Campbell.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It should have been more like pop rap than anything else.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
I mean, look, man, if you want to flex your rap chops, that's fine, but it's almost like wasted on Sam Darnold. You can't make that sound. You can't make that guy sound hard. Like, yeah, yeah, Sam Darnold, yeah. Like, no.
I was more for McCaffrey.
Maybe.
It was more for McCaffrey.
I don't know. Let's answer some Hey Joe questions.
Joe cracked the door.
As always, though. The effort.
Yeah, effort. No.
Effort.
A for effort, man. A for effort. A for effort.
Yay. You will not
I
be
hope,
cheated
I hope
when it comes to Cox.
I
acapella
hope,
news.
I hope
will
Sam
not
Darnold
cheated.
Puts that effort into not throwing interceptions this year.
All right. Hey, Joe. Are you watching Summer League just for the officiating changes?
No.
That's an interesting question. The answer to that would be no. But I guess context matters here. So with NBA Summer League underway right now, they're using the Summer League games to get the officials ready to start cracking down on unnatural player movement.
Yes.
So that means a shooter that launches or leans into a defender at an abnormal angle, that's going to get a no call. an offensive player abruptly veering off his path, like sideways, backwards, into a defender. That will get a non-call. The shooter kicks his leg, the old Dwayne Wade. That ain't going to happen. The offensive player's arm hooks the defender, often in the process of attempting a shot on a in a non-basketball manner. That's going to be a non-call as well. The reason why this matters is, as good as guys like James Harden or Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, the list goes on. What was one of the things we talked about with the Olympic rules? How these guys amass points wasn't necessarily going to be there under the FIBA rules, who let a lot of contact happen.
I was going to say, if the NBA found religion and was switching to the FIBA rules, sign me up. Particularly when it comes to the ball being in the cylinder. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that would be a potential game changer. But, listen, I think the NBA needs to clean up some of this stuff, because it's like theater at this point, right?
Yes.
And they show the clips of what's being passed around. Like, hey, you can't do this anymore. The old pump fake, the guy's coming at you, but he's not really coming into you, so you lean into him because he's in a position where he's vulnerable. Like, yeah, that's an offensive foul.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be on the guy who left his feet.
Right.
Right? So I think they had to do something, but for me, I would love to see college basketball, the NBA, both adopt not only FIBA rules, but the FIBA paint and the FIBA three-point line.
Well,
I think if they homogenize the game of basketball on those levels, I think it would go a long way.
I think what's interesting here is that the NBA can continue to tweak how they call the game for the betterment of the game. College deals with a different issue, because there's way too many of the little guy and not enough of the big guy.
There's also too many different sets of officials.
There's that too.
That's the biggest problem in college basketball, is you can't get a group that would be under one national umbrella.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem with college basketball. But to your point, the talent disparity lends itself to the block charge nonsense.
Yep.
And there's more of that in the college game, even though the easiest way to get rid of it is to stop rewarding people for falling down.
Just tell them to get up.
Yes.
That's more embarrassing than if you want to get that out of the game, you basically just have officials be given the right to, oh, did you just flop there? Do the get up motion.
Yeah.
And then that will embarrass everybody, and then maybe you'll actually see that out of the game. But we see it goes beyond that, by the way, of the block charge. What was it? Grayson Allen was the – I'll use Grayson Allen as an example here when he was at Duke. He was the king of, like, the head tilt. Anytime he would drive to the basket, all of a sudden it looked like, you know, there was a second shooter there at Cameron Indoor, right? That stuff also needs to be eliminated, because it's the theatrics that has trickled itself down to the college.
Yeah, and if it's not rewarded, well, people will stop doing it. Once it's rewarded, I mean, the thing you'll never be able to take out of the NBA are the personalities.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the popular players. They're going to shoot more free throws than the unpopular players. This is just the way it is.
But does it have to be as gross to watch as James Harden does it?
Well, no, it doesn't. And I think there's the FIBA game, as you saw, Luka Doncic still got to the foul line.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Durant still got to the foul line. That doesn't mean there's not fouls in the game. It's just the game is more evenly officiated.
Next up.
Hey, Joe, theories as to why ratings for the Olympics stunk?
It was in Japan. What more do you want? I mean, that's the easiest answer. When you deal with that big of a time difference when games are taking
it's
place.
It's the wrong year. Some of the best stories were at home.
Yeah.
There were no fans.
Mm-hmm.
I think, how about this? Is there a bad guy anymore? Who do we root against?
I mean, technically, Russia could still be the bad guy because they're participating in the Olympics.
I kind of got some bad news for you, though.
But it's not really.
I kind of got some bad news for you.
It's us.
Say it.
Are we the baddies?
We are.
Oh, no.
We are.
Are we the bad guys?
So in this
now?
Country, it's like, are we? Yes, people say, you're rooting against this country. Well, spend some time on social media. Not when you spend time with real people, though. Isn't that weird? A disconnect?
When you spend time
with real people, even if they are ideologically opposed to you,
yeah,
they're still real people.
They are still real
people. They're still going to interact with you. There's still some human decency. But when you put it online and you have the veil of not having to say it to somebody's face, well, guess what?
guess where we are.
Yeah, what's wild, it used to be under an anonymous name. You know, you go on some Reddit, you know, you get on some message
still,
board.
I think most of it still is, right?
Now
Dan 7376655443321
I am
is
shocked.
Not a real person.
I am shocked at the amount of like people on the local level who are in political positions who just get on Facebook and talk all sorts of problematic, man.
Facebook
okay. and stuff like that. Now, yeah. And Facebook is where most...
Facebook is more political, for sure.
I mean, Facebook for me is just posting kid photos. That's about it. I don't even do that anymore because the kids are old. They don't want their picture taken. Nobody wants to see a gawky 13-year-old.
You know, it's funny. And I actually saw a picture of one of my kids, one of my friends from high school posting on Facebook. And I just saw the face, right? Mm-hmm. Which is what I like. I was just scrolling and I'm like, oh,
I know this guy.
That's Mike Sherman's kid. Yeah, because he looks just like Mike Sherman. Like, it's a stamp. You know what I mean? Particularly as we get older and as we kind of fade from what we used to look like, Joe.
Yeah.
Right? When you see that, it's like, oh, yeah. And then it becomes this toxic wasteland of everything else about microchips and
Yeah, I can definitely tell which one of your kids leans which side of the family.
Oh, James, Jessica has posted pictures of her and James like at the same age and stuff like that. It's
like they're like the same person.
It's like I wasn't there.
Jacob at least is a more handsome version of me, so he's got that going for him. Next up,
from Bricks. Hey Joe, should I be cool with NC State showing up in the others receiving votes category of the coaches preseason top 25?
Yeah, there was only three ACC squads that showed up in the USA Today coaches poll. Clemson was number 2, North Carolina was number 9, and then Miami came in at 16. If you want to count Notre Dame, fine. Notre Dame came in at number 7. But in the others receiving votes category, you had NC State as the next highest ACC squad with 27 points. That was then followed by Virginia Tech, who had 9 points. By the way, shout out to App State. They showed up with 4 points in this one. And also shout out to the person who decided to give Florida State a top 25 vote. Who's doing that?
Oh, Mike Norvell.
Did Mike Norvell do that?
Yeah.
The head coach do that?
Spurrier's gone, right? Remember he used to put Duke 25?
No, he used to put Duke 25. No, I think this is an instance where I will once again say that I read the room wrong when it comes to NC State. I was of the belief that NC State would be more under the radar this upcoming season.
Not being ranked is still being under the radar just because you got a couple votes.
Nah, see, I see this. If they win, they'll be in the top 25 in no time. They'll be in the top 25 in no time. And this actually goes back to the ACC kickoff a couple weeks ago when we were in Charlotte where they were picked to finish second in the Atlantic Division. They even had some people said they were going to win the whole thing, which I was surprised by. But this just gets to a point of me getting something wrong in how I viewed NC State. I thought because of all the attention North Carolina was going to get and everything focused on Clemson, there's De'Arik King coming back at Miami. There's like a lot of respect for Dave Clawson and what he does at Wake Forest that NC State's weird ass season last year in a pandemic would be undersold going into this year. But instead, as I've continued to read up on NC State, people actually are like, oh, they got depth and this and that. And I'm intrigued by this.
This feels like a Jeff Bezdelic argument. Are you suggesting that people are showing no respect, are giving no respect by showing no respect?
What do you mean?
Like, also receiving votes is not impressive, Joe.
Not impressive.
That's
to
not
you?
A thing, Joe.
All right. To me, it just says next man up. They win a game or two because they're gonna win, and then they'll be in the top 25 in no time.
Okay.
What?
You're trying to say there are expectations for NC State because they're in the also receiving votes category?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. People are paying attention to them.
Okay.
Next up. Say they're gonna win the college football playoff.
Whoa, there's a little bit difference between being picked 9th in the country and also receiving votes.
Well, hold on a second. Before we move on to the next one, what are you missing here?
You're suggesting that NC State's getting respect because they're in the also receiving votes category.
It's not respect. It's more of I thought State would be way more under the radar.
How is that not under the radar?
In a combination of others receiving votes, how I've seen the preseason conversations go, when you read a David Hale or you read an Andre Adelson, you see how people are talking about the league. And coming out of ACC kickoff, there was a lot of, hey, 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 don't be surprised if NC State, dot, 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 dot. Typically, that gets reserved for other teams. I did not think that NC State would be getting that kind of, not attention, but that kind of discussion. I don't want to use the dreaded word dark horse, but I thought NC State would be more of a, how about this? Here's where I thought NC State was. Oftentimes, I will get somebody that asks me or says to me, man, can you believe Dave Doran's still there? Man, what do you think? NC State's just kind of there, aren't they? What's the deal with NC State? They don't get discussed very much. Last time they got discussed, really, was what, 2017? So, that's all I'm making the point with NC State.
Penn State's 4-5 and number 20 in the preseason poll.
Okay.
Texas is number 19 with a new coach after an unsuccessful season.
That is classic name brand ability. That's why Texas gets into the SEC. Okay. Because they're a brand.
You're not following me here. I'm going to do a better job.
Next up.
So set them up. From Nick. Hey, Joe, why does it feel like Kirk Cousins got more grief for his stance on the vaccine versus Lamar Jackson, who has now had it twice and won't get it either?
Let's see if I can explain this the best way. Lamar Jackson is getting ripped for getting COVID again and not having a vaccine. Heck, we talked about it. I mean, I don't know if you saw the soundbite from yesterday, Dennis, from Lamar Jackson. So here's Lamar Jackson after he just came back from the COVID list, having tested positive now twice for COVID. And he's still kind of like up in the air about the whole vaccine thing.
I mean, you know, I just got off the COVID list. You know, I got to talk to my team doctors and, you know, try to see how they feel about it. You know, keep learning as much as I can about it, and we'll go from there.
So you might go for it.
We'll see. Talking to the doctors. We'll see.
And I said this yesterday, and I'm not alone in saying this. What is there to talk about? What are the doctors going to say? The doctors probably told you the first time, yeah, you should probably get the COVID thing. Get the shot. Get the vaccine. And when you look at the vaccine rates for NFL teams, they're all started to inch closer and closer and closer into the 90s range, right? Like, I think the Panthers are now at like 96% vaccinated. Even the Washington football team, after a lot of people said they weren't going to get vaccinated, I think they're now like ranging into the 80% vaccinated rate. So slowly but surely, as we get closer to the start of the football season, guys are getting vaccinated. So people like Lamar Jackson only become more frustrating when they say stuff like that. So yeah, Lamar Jackson got rightfully ripped for saying what he had said. Well, I got to talk to doctors about that, see what they say. We'll see. What is there to see, dude? You got COVID twice. Now, I guess the frustrating attitude, Giulio, is Bryson DeChambeau, the golfer, also kind of alluded to this as well, having had COVID. I'm young. I didn't die. So what's the big deal, right? Which is kind of a selfish way of looking at it from a personal perspective. It's not so much about what happens with you. It's about what happens when you have COVID and how you can spread it to other people. You could cost your team a game if you find yourself spreading COVID across the locker room.
All right. Help me out here behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because when you're gone, I don't use real Hey Joe questions.
Yeah.
Was this a real question?
Yes.
So people are suggesting that we've, not we, you and
the
I,
collective
rather
we.
The royal we,
the collective
we've been
we.
Harder on Kirk Cousins
yes.
than we were on Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Do you think that?
Here's where I'll get to why I think there's a difference.
Okay.
There's a serious reason. Actually, they're both serious.
Because Kirk Cousins was more of a, I'm going to do everything I can, you know, except get the vaccine.
So there's two issues here. I can understand where Lamar Jackson is coming from because of some misinformation of, well, I've already had COVID. I've got the antibodies. I don't need to necessarily get the shot.
Right.
So there is a lingering thought around that.
Right.
There's also the, he's like, you, I guess the other point, he's not going out of his way like Kirk Cousins is saying, well, I'm going to put myself in a Pope mobile in the quarterback room. I'll do all these things just to not get the shot. There's also the other factor. Lamar Jackson's actually a good quarterback. Kirk Cousins, even though he's paid like a good quarterback, isn't a good quarterback. And there's almost this attitude that people have of, man, why would Minnesota even put up with this crap? And really, the reason why they have to put up with that crap is because they're stuck with Kirk Cousins. So that's also kind of the attitude I think people have with Kirk Cousins versus Lamar Jackson. There's one guy where you go, dude, you're not worth the trouble, versus, come on, Lamar, don't do something stupid. I think there's an element of that in play, too. Of course, there's the other factor of one's a white quarterback, one's a black quarterback, and there's this kind of gotcha attitude.
Is that where we were going with this?
That might have been where we were going. It's like, why is it that you're bashing the white quarterback and not the black quarterback? Are you afraid of coming off as whatever? And I'm like, no, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
At the risk of telling you how to run our show, Joe.
What's that?
Just make up the Hey Joe questions like I do.
Why?
Because
we get much more interesting questions when we get actual people to.
Are you sure? Because yes. You don't listen to the program. When you're not on,
I will listen.
I come up with some amazing Hey Joe questions.
I will listen tomorrow when I'm not here at 3:35.
What was it, Thursday?
For a fake
last
Hey
week
Joe
you were
question.
Out?
Yeah.
That was some of my best radio.
Really?
A solid 20 minutes. Great Hey Joe questions.
What were some of the questions? Since you made them up, you should remember them.
I could, but I'd have to look them up, but.
Okay.
They're glorious.
Why do you want to miss out on questions from WompRat76?
Yeah.
That one just seems like, to your last point about it, was a gotcha, right? Like, oh, you're being critical, hypercritical of the white quarterback
there was
and not
one,
of the black.
There was one that I got.
But who hasn't been critical of Lamar Jackson?
That's what I would like to know. I got this one yesterday. It didn't make the Hey Joe. Let's see if I can actually go dig it up from my tweets. I got some guy who wanted me to comment on what happened in Colorado with the fan who was yelling for the mascot. But when you listen to the audio, the mascot's name is Dinger.
Yes.
And some people felt that the fan was saying something else that would be racist. And, like, I'm not as extremely online as I used to be.
That's good for you.
That's good for me. So I wasn't really spending my time over the weekend, you know, Zapruder filming what a guy said at a game. So it was no comment on this. You're gonna talk about this? And I was like, what are you talking about? And then he sent me the story about the mascot thing in Colorado, saying, well, you know, we listened to the audio, we talked to the person, and yada yada yada. And he did not say what people thought that he said. In those instances, why are you coming to me for comment on that? You should probably go to the people who probably were too quick to tweet something about this. This is why I said I'm not as extremely online as I used to be. Because I've been burned by this. I'll be upfront about it. There'll be certain topics that when it's hot and fresh out the kitchen, you'll offer some opinion. Then you come to find out, oh, well, actually, that's not the full story. Or, you know, oh, you know what? Maybe it didn't play out that way. And then you got egg on your face when it comes to this kind of stuff. I will agree that sometimes there is an immediate reaction of, well, that person did the worst thing that could possibly happen, because that's what ends up happening on social media. It becomes, you know, the theater of who could be the most outspoken on certain topics. You don't have to comment on everything. I think, was it Bomani Jones has said to us on when he visits us on Fridays, essentially, you know what? Sometimes it's okay to not have an opinion on something because we don't always know all these particular things. And that was the case with the Colorado Rockies story. Like, I didn't bring it up because it was like, what's it matter? I mean, somebody thought something else.
There were like three different tapings of it.
Right.
That did show the guy like flagging down
the mascot.
That was a strange one. Not going to lie to you.
You know what I learned? That's an unusual
one.
You know what I learned from that story? The mascot for the Colorado Rockies is named Dinger. And I'm not quite sure that's a good idea.
He's a dinosaur.
Dinger the dinosaur.
I guess they couldn't have made him a Coors Light Silver Bullet can, although...
That's how it should have been.
Really? Honestly?
That's how it should have been.
I mean, they're the Rockies, for goodness sake.
And Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, is hanging out with us. Brownlow, what up?
What's going on?
Just a couple days closer to some preseason Panthers football.
Ooh, wow. The possibilities are endless.
Between you and Jillio, I find y'all's lack of excitement for the impending football season disturbing.
Okay, well,
I'm trying to get hype about these things, and y'all's energy is bringing me down.
Hold on, wait a sec. I brought energy in with my acapella news, and you shot it down,
that was
sir.
But that was a little too hard for Sam Darnold.
No.
He's got a point.
No, you went a little too hard for Sam Darnold, though. If it had been more of like a...
It was for Christian McCaffrey.
I don't even know.
Aren't those two things connected, though, right? Like, you just mocked him for going hard for Sam Darnold, except for, like, that's sort of the key here, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I mean, and if you're not all that enthusiastic about Sam Darnold, which, hi, I'm not.
That would be you.
Then, yeah, there's really not all that much to get excited about.
All right, are you hype about North Carolina being number 9 in the USA Today preseason top 25?
Ooh, that was a double take. I actually went back through all the coaches' polls because there's not like a sortable database like there is for the AP poll. Like you can kind of sort that and see like where's the highest rank, blah, blah, blah. Even Carolina's media guide doesn't have it. So I'm like, okay, well, so I went back through all the coaches' polls. I think USA Today's website has them through like 92, 93. And it's their second highest preseason in the coaches' poll. The highest was 97. But yeah, I mean, I thought it had to have been, if not the highest, close to it. It was close to it, but not quite the highest. And yeah, I mean, it's fun. I did my own ballot recently. I didn't have them quite that high.
Where'd
but
you
they
have
were
them ranked?
Ish. They were close-ish. I believe I had them 11 or 12,
okay,
give or take. I mean, it's hard, right? Because, like, I think, and I've said this too, I think sometimes with the teams I cover, sometimes I'm too close to it, and I tend to be a little more critical.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not, like, the coaches weren't going to have Coastal Carolina ahead of North Carolina,
no.
But I did.
No. Well, here's the thing, though. There's a couple things going on, because I'm with you when it comes to North Carolina. There's a lot of things that I have to forget about from last season that carry over into this particular group. I get every season's different and who they play is different, everything else, but I'm still having a hard time getting behind the idea that the defense is going to be leaps and bounds better than it was last year, which gave up a lot of big plays, was not very good in red zone defense, and allowed squads to get into shootouts with North Carolina. And North Carolina was perfectly capable of winning shootouts, but like giving up 53 points to Wake Forest, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more confident that the defense can be better than I am necessarily that they won't miss Javonte Williams and Michael Carter as much as I think that they will. That's sort of my bigger question mark, honestly. But yeah, I mean, obviously that's a question mark, and they did give up a ton of big plays. I still think, like, with what we saw in that A&M game, and I know it's one game, like, I get it, right? But as we saw with the A&M game, and as the year kind of went on, when some young guys were thrown into it, I think that they have, you know, kind of the quality depth that you want to see. You know, it's not just having depth. I mean, you could have a bunch of bodies, but, you know, they've talked about it all offseason. They were putting guys in before because they had to. You know, you had to give somebody a break. Sometimes you couldn't give somebody a break. They were talking about Aaron Crawford back in that 6 overtime game, you know, just kind of sucking wind, and they don't really have anybody they can sub for him. But now they have guys they can rotate in and out. I think that will help some too. You know, add in a year of, you know, kind of familiarity, a non-COVID offseason, things like that. I think that it will be, I think that the defense will be way better. I mean, I don't think they're going to be like a top unit in the country or anything, but I think that they'll be way better, and that they will actually help them win some games this year as opposed to, well, not so much last year.
Right. And you also have the fact, too, that it's the coaches' poll. People love Mac Brown. Everybody loves Mac Brown. And
well, and again, I do need to reiterate this, and you know I've said it all the time, and you'll probably roll your eyes at this, but I think it's important for people to hear this. You have to put the team somewhere.
True.
Like, the only team that I ranked below North Carolina that you could maybe go, huh, well, why'd you do that, is like, I don't know, Louisiana?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Florida, I guess, if you're real high in Florida, USC, maybe. I don't know. Like, there's not a whole lot of options. Like, you get much past 8, 9, 10, and you kind of go, I guess I have to start ranking teams here, even if it feels a little high.
Lauren Brownlee, WRALSportsFan.com, joining us here on the OG. To your point, though, about the Panthers and their excitement being tied to Sam Darnold, isn't Sam Howell going to be better this year?
You, I mean,
I don't think so.
I don't think he was bad last year by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I agree.
I thought he struggled a little bit early, probably because there was no offseason.
I think he's going to have a really good season this year.
But isn't it doesn't it get back to your point, though, Jillio? When we started the show, we talked about Carolina being ranked ninth in the USA Today coaches poll. I don't think anybody worries about Sam Howell.
Okay. No.
It's replacing the running backs.
Sure.
It's getting consistency out of their wide receivers. We saw potential in the Orange Bowl against Texas A&M, but we don't know what it's going to be like throughout the course of the season. Sam should be Sam. Yeah. It's the other stuff that I think people have legitimate questions about.
But I don't think they'll try to replace Williams and Carter in the same way. You're not going to have that type of production. But if you think about it, we should think more of Carolina as a Big 12 team. And now, in a couple of years, that is not going to make any sense to people. But they are a pass first, pass happy, you know, like, hey, if they don't have a Javonte Williams or Michael Carter, they're still going to have a lot of production on offense because of their passing game.
They were really balanced last year, though. You know, having those backs let them do that. They were extremely balanced, and Sam didn't have to win every game by himself. There were some he tried to, some he did. You know, but he didn't have to do that. And I just and some of this, I think, for me is just thinking so highly of both of those guys as players and what they brought to the table. You know, both of them could catch out of the backfield, especially Javonte, and just make plays for you. You know, and I think if they had not added Ty Chandler, I'd probably be a little more down actually in North Carolina than I was.
He's the running back from Tennessee.
Yes, the transfer from Tennessee, because that's a guy that's got experience. That's not to say that one of the younger guys can't sort of emerge and be that guy for them, because they probably can, but nothing we'd seen to date had indicated that. And to me, that was just way too much production to have to replace with a bunch of unproven guys who've barely gotten any, you know, collegiate action. So to add Ty Chandler, I think, gives me a little bit of peace of mind for them. But it's still a question mark for me, because I think they're going to have to retool some of what they do. But yeah, I think you're right, Jillio, in that Sam got better, and it's always exciting to me around here when we have good quarterback play, and we're going to have at least, you know, at least two schools that should have good quarterback play. And so I'm excited to see that. It's way more exciting when that's the case than when it's the opposite.
I mean, he only had three 300 yard games last year, and two of them were 400 plus. One of them was the 550 against Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is you're going to see him have more yards per game, like way more yards per game.
But there's also the wide variance, too.
Yeah.
So, like,
right. Well, and I was going to say, too, like, yeah, the exciting part, too, though, is that he may have to win games on his own now more than we saw last year. And that will be interesting to see, because there were times last year where we were like, okay, like, maybe time to let Sam Howell cook a little bit, you know? Well, and now they have to do that.
This is kind of crazy when you look at it. He had we think of 300 yards passing as a standard, right, for a good game. Two of them he lost.
Yep.
374 to Florida State, 443 to Virginia. That's kind of nuts when you think about it.
But here's the important context about
Lawrence, that. To Lauren's point about the running backs and their value.
Their value, and as Lauren also pointed out, the one thing that I'll be curious to see if they adjust under Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator's system, is if they just go out there and start to try to boat race teams early on. Sometimes I felt they got a little too cutesy when they didn't need to get cutesy. Just go out there. I mean, not to sound overly simplistic, but go do the thing. Go do what you do rather than try to, like, script out how you start. So Florida State's a good example of this. You had how many yards against Florida State?
374.
You know when most of those yards ended up showing up?
Oh, after they were down 21-0.
Yes. So why were they down 21-0? Because they just couldn't get out of their own way offensively.
Two blocked punts or whatever.
There was all sorts of mistakes.
By the way, special teams for me with North Carolina is also an issue. And I think that is also an area where the depth will help. Mm-hmm. Because as we all know, like, when you have, you know, when you don't have a lot of depth on your special teams, you're having a lot of guys having to do more than one thing that tires them out, or you're having a bunch of young dudes who haven't played on a particular special team before having to get out there and do that. That's never a good recipe. And so I think now with more depth, I think that will help them on special teams as well. And it's, I mean, you can only go up from there, but they lost games on special teams last year. They rarely, if ever, that I can remember, won one with special teams. And I think they kind of want to flip that this year. They certainly don't want to lose any games that way.
Lauren Brownlow, WRELSportsFan.com, hanging out with us on the OG alongside Joe Jillio. I'm Joe Ovias. Only three ACC teams showed up in the coaches' top 25, with North Carolina number 9, Miami coming in, and who am I missing? Oh, Clemson number 2. Silly me.
Yeah.
So Clemson number 2, Carolina 9. I think Miami was like 16 or something like that. Which I get that. Derek King, coming back elevates Miami into a position where people expect something out of them this season. After that, you got like a handful of teams receiving votes, including NC State. Now, NC State can get on people's radar more so. I think people are curious about NC State. That's why they were the next best team in the ACC in terms of receiving votes. But that Mississippi State game looms for them. I think, Julia, we've talked about this. We'll get to know a lot about NC State's season and how people are going to talk about them right out of the gate. The same said about North Carolina against Virginia Tech, but NC State more so with a tough matchup against Mississippi State.
Yeah, we'll learn early on what we're going to see, I think, or at least have a pretty good idea. And, you know, it really doesn't leave you much room to, you know, mess around. You can't really ease into the season.
No.
I think there is something to be said, you know, for the teams that do play those non-conference games early, because there's no margin for error when you open like that. You have to come out and be ready. And so it'll be interesting for sure, because I think both teams play winnable games on the road, but both are going to be very difficult. And yeah, we'll definitely see early on whether, and obviously if State wins and they beat a Mississippi State, I think I don't know if that they'll get them into the top 25, but it'll certainly get them close. I have them in my preseason top 25, just
okay.
FYI.
Gotcha. I think if they beat Mississippi State, they'll get it at the top 25. Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com. All right, we'll talk to you Thursday.
All right.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.